Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
See you
high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Number 26.
Tender again with your love.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Y'all be seated. Now, I bet you're wondering what this meeting's going to be about today. Steve asked me earlier. I don't know. Figure it out when we get there. Praise the Lord. I'm not in charge anyway. Amen. I'm going to tell you a little story. Back years and years ago when I was young, that did happen. I was young once upon a time. And I was in one of Brother Hall's meetings. And I was a cocky little guy. I mean, you know, I kind of, man, I'm there. The Lord's blessed me and I'm called by him and feeling good about it. Brother Hall called me up on the platform one day. Called me up on the platform. He said, I wonder what this guy's going to look like as a minister. And he said to the congregation, would y'all like to know what he'd look like as a minister? And they all, yeah, clapped their hands and cheered and I'm standing there grinning like a Cheshire cat. I had teeth then, so I could do it. So he said, Richard, go back there in that closet. Wait till I call you. And then he called this other guy up by the name of David Druding. Told him to go get in the closet. And then he proceeded to preach for about 45 minutes. That was not a big closet, and it did not have a light. And I'm in that closet, and I'm thinking, sure wish there was a bathroom here. About 45 minutes went by, and finally Brother Hall said, oh, yeah, we got somebody standing in the closet back there waiting. He says, Richard, come on out. Let's see what you look like as a preacher. So I've got a suit on, you know. I walk out there, got my smile on. Here I am. That's what I'm going to look like as a preacher. Brother Hall looked at me and just shook his head. He called on David Druding and said, David, come out of here. Let's see what you look like as a preacher. And he come out of that room. He come out of that room preaching hellfire and damnation. And everybody's cheering and everybody's shouting. And I got about that small. Never been so embarrassed in all my life. But you know what? I determined after that never to let it happen again. I remember that scripture, study to show thyself approved. A workman, laborer, worthy is hire. And I determined I was not going to be put in that place again. So I said to myself while we were waiting to get ready for these meetings, Lord, what are we going to do with this meeting? He says, why don't you give them an opportunity? So we're going to see if you're ready. We're going to see what you look like. And the fun part is, and you're going to like me after this, after you get to speak, The rest of the people get to tell you what they think of it. Some people are going to really like me when this is all over. Amen? And if you're embarrassed, good. That'd be good. Because that means you'll work harder later. Or get out, one or the other. Before we do that, though, I'm going to go to chapter 4, verse 12 of 1 Timothy. I'm going to talk to younger people now. I'm going to talk to some of you younger people. Because I know younger people sometimes are intimidated by older people. And Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, let no man despise thy youth. Let no man despise thy youth. Now this doesn't matter. I mean, this fits if you're 13 or if you're 23. Let no man despise thy youth. But be thou an example of the believers. You know, anybody can flap their tater trap. Anybody can talk a talk. But we want people, and the Lord's looking for people that can walk the walk. Like the Marine thing, you know, looking for a few good men. And that's one thing about this ministry. We've never been looking for big crowds. Cheryl, you get the Holy Ghost or what? What's going on over there? I knew I was a good preacher. I didn't know that I was that good. Praise the Lord. You all right now? Sister Cheryl, are you awake now, honey? Are you all right? You got it good now. And people in Radio Land probably wondered, what in the world is going on in there? Nothing. Cheryl just decided to try to be a holy roller. Now a spider came in the room and said, hi. So praise the Lord. As I was saying, this ministry's never been one to go for the large crowds and large numbers. I'd rather have 10 people walking in the Holy Ghost and the power of God than 200,000 people going la, 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 la. Amen. Ain't about the money. Ain't about the numbers. I want some people like this right here. But be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. You know what I'm saying? You young people? Because your actions can cause people to go to heaven or go to hell. Your actions can cause people to go to heaven or go to hell. Goes on. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. When I was young, I read that, and it meant a lot to me. And it still does mean a lot to me. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, even though you be young, it should mean a lot to you. And even if you be older, it should mean a lot to you. Because your actions will speak a lot louder than any words. You can talk all you want, but when you go out there in the world, or even in the church as far as that goes, people aren't listening to your words as much as they're watching your actions. They want to see what you're up about. Amen? I wanted to bring that to the young people and to the rest of you, because it's what it's all about. This is what it's about to walk with Christ. All right, now let's see. James, get up here. We'll see.
You know, one thing Davey said about the actions, if you take like sports, for instance, the guy that doesn't catch the fly ball that would win the game and the other team wins, they remember his name. They may not remember the pitcher that was pitching, but they remember the guy that lost it for them. You know, and the same thing goes here, like he was saying. They're going to remember your bad deeds. Or they're going to be looking for them, you know, to be able to justify why they are, don't need to listen to you. But let's see. We were in Matthew this morning. I think 10. It says, and as ye go, verse 7, and as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. So, I mean, this is a free gift from God if we humble ourselves and be able to receive it. In the hour of truth, we've been talking in James, which James chapter 4, I think. Verse 3. Ye ask and ye receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. How many of us here are healing the sick, cleansing lepers, raising the dead, casting out devils? I mean, are we really walking in this? I know some are, but we all should be. Isn't that what we're all called to do? We all have the ability here to receive that and walk in it. I know for myself, it's pride. I think you told me that, you know, I mean, the reason if you don't get it, it's all pride. We need to let this old man die. You know, are we on God's team? Are we, you know, he has a plan. Are we going to be part of it? Or is he going to find somebody else to take our place? How about have another soldier, you know? Let's not have to find replacements. Let's be part of that team. I mean, it's endure hardness as a good soldier. That starts with putting your own self off. They're going to be short at my house, Davey.
You already done? Well, I don't know. Y'all can grade him with your how loud you clap. What do you say? They gave you more than I would. Anybody got anything to say about what he's had to say? Well, crickets. Who said what?
Jeannie.
Come on up here.
Well, I know at my work even, people are watching me, and I'm trying to, you know, help the customer and do everything I can for the customer. But if one thing goes wrong, and it's true, that's the thing that they're going to remember. And Jeannie, it's your fault. What happened, you know? So I really don't even know what I'm going to say. Davey, I don't know.
Y'all, go on. Give her a cheer. She got up here. All right, Melanie, come on up here and say something for the Lord. Let's see what you got.
Hello. I actually thought about this 2 hours ago. He's going to make me say something today. No, not really. But this morning, Ann made a mention of 10 years ago when Gail said that Davey was leading you all to the desert to die. I said that a few months ago to my husband. I said the exact same thing, not having known what Gail said, that he was just going to lead us to the desert to die. And he kept saying I was stuck on my leeks and onions. And I was. I wanted the leeks and onions. I didn't want to go to the desert. I couldn't see what could possibly be there. And I kept thinking that Steve and Scott and Davey and Robin, they all have it wrong. We're not supposed to go there. And finally I got on board, kind of. And I kept thinking through all this back to Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lead not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. And I said that to myself over and over daily. Just trust in the Lord. If this is really what he wants, this is what's going to happen. If it's not, we'll be happy in our cold little Vermont home. And our house, I mean, our house isn't horrible, but it's not the prettiest thing. And no siding and all this work that needed to be done. And the gosh darn thing sold like the second time someone saw it. And then we sold the animals. And there was 2 days in a row that Scott was outside being the salesman of selling everything. People coming to buy all of our farm equipment. And it was very apparent that this is what we were supposed to do. So I still have to keep telling myself to trust in the Lord. But luckily, it's not like 10 times a day. It might just be a couple.
Only when you see me, right?
Right.
I give her a cheer. Okay. Gail took off so she wouldn't have to be next. Sue, come on. I'll make it easy for you. I'll take the batteries out. You actually get to use the one with the battery.
Thank you, Dad.
Underneath.
apologize. The Lord's been so good to us, to me. 12 years ago, when I joined this ministry, you know, hearing what Gail and now what Mel had said, I don't know that I saw it as the desert, but I sure as hell thought these people are crazy. I'll never be one of them. And I'll always feel like an outsider here. These people are nuts. And the Lord has shown me over and over and over and over how his line of authority works. And he is a good God, and he loves me, and he provided someone who loved me when I was unlovable, which is yesterday. And this morning, but 12 years ago, I was really unlovable. And the fact that this person here loved me enough to tell me the truth, to take the batteries out of the microphone, which was a lesson to me in pride, and I didn't know I had pride. I was raised in the church. The church doesn't tell you you have pride. They talk about pride, but not in the sense of you have it, in the sense of those out there have it. We're better than them. I didn't know I had it until he took the batteries out of that microphone. That was what it took for me. What's it going to take for you to humble yourself before the Lord, to repent, to commit your heart to him, and to move forward in that, not looking back, not holding on to the things of the past, not holding on to your past life and letting Satan constantly put, you're unlovable. Nobody, you can't trust God. You can't trust these people. You can't trust anybody. Well, you can trust Jesus Christ, and he's the only one worth trusting. On our way into the ranch, I really wanted to speak about this particular thing, because on our way into the ranch, Ricky and I heard a story on NPR about a man who was in Afghanistan, and he was kidnapped. And SEAL Team 6, Ricky Wright, rescued him. And this story was moved me to tears, which apparently is not difficult to do. But it moved me to tears because one of the SEAL team members lay on top of this captive man while the rest of the team fought the fight. And he wasn't lying on top of him to get out of the fight. He was putting himself in the line of fire to save that man's life. And he was a regular Joe. And the Bible says in John 15, verse 12 to 14, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus Christ laid down his life for me when I was his enemy. You understand that? When you were his enemy, he laid down his life for you, not when you were his friend. He loved you before you became his friend. Some of us are not yet his friend. But he loved us so much that he laid down his life for us. I want that. I want to walk in the anointing. I want to leave here a changed person. I want to leave here knowing that when I pray for someone, it's not me. I always doubt that there's that little bit, what if this is me? I don't want to doubt that anymore. I want to leave here at the end of the week and know that if I pray for someone, the Lord's going to move for them in spite of me. And he'll do it for you too. You just have to believe.
Amen. Give her a cheer. You know, the key to praying for the sick is to pray when the Father wants you to pray. not necessarily when you want to do it. Amen? Let's see. We got time for one more, maybe. Huh? Where's Gail? I had somebody in mind a minute ago. I can't remember who it was. Oh, well, I guess they're off the hook for now. Praise the Lord. All right, Gail. Aren't you up here yet? Let's go. Come on.
I forgot what I was going to say. All I can do really is say that this last year for me has been really important. Because of the brotherly love in this ministry and people's long suffering. And one woman putting up with me no matter what. I seethed and spit venom over the Skype. I wanted to pluck her bald. I railed up and down on my husband for 3 days straight every time we had a phone call. I cried. And I hated her. Oh, my God. It was ugly. Yes, I'm talking about Robin. And she wouldn't go away no matter what I did. She couldn't get rid of her. Anyways, because she stuck it out, she got me past a hump that I had been stuck on for years and years. You know, I tried every which way to get around it, and I needed help. That was it. I just needed help. And I'll tell you one thing. Don't try pouting. I tried it for 3 solid years. Didn't do anything. Made me miserable. And since then, I don't know, I feel alive again. I don't know if it's any one particular thing, but I just feel alive again. I don't feel like I'm slogging along, waiting to die, see if I get into heaven. You know, it's not like that anymore. So praise God. And it is so good to finally see a chapel here. I mean, all these years, and we finally got it. So praise God. Thank you.
Thank you. Amen. Praise the Lord. One of the things we did this morning, and I want to just bring it up, and y'all are welcome to join in. We had our service this morning, and after the service, we kind of got involved in talking about it, and it got to be a pretty good deal. We're going to be doing that again tonight after the service. So if you want to, you know, be part of that, praise God. Stick around the camp kitchen and be part of it. It's not mandatory, but you might learn something. Amen? All right, Rick. If I didn't pick on you today, there's plenty of time this week to pick on you.
I've been with you.
I've been redeemed, by the blood of the Lamb, filled with the Holy Ghost. All my sins are washed away, I've been redeemed
by the blood of the Lamb.
I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, filled with the Holy Ghost fire. All my sins.
with me.
Beloved, let us love one another.
Beloved, let us love one another. Love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. So, beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another. Love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not God, for God is love. So, beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4:7-8.
Get all excited and tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King.
Get all excited and tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited and tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings. Get all excited and tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited and tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited and tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings.
Use the word of cheer.
Amen. Praise your Lord.
Amen. We are done.